Tony, how about this performance by your team tonight?
I'm so proud of our guys. You know, we took the hit early with Devin Hester, but we talked about it. We said there's going to be a storm. We said the Lord doesn't always bring you directly through. Sometimes you got to work for it. And our guys just hung tough and played so hard. And I just can't tell you how proud I am of our group, our organization, and our city right now.
This is one of those moments, Tony, where there is also social significance in this victory. And to have your hands on the Vince Lombardi Trophy, tell me what this means to you right now.
I tell you what, I'm proud to be representing African-American coaches, to be the first African-American to win this. That means an awful lot to our country. But again, more than anything, I said it before, Lovie Smith and I, not only the first two African-Americans, but Christian coaches, showing that you can win, doing it the Lord's way. We're more proud of that.
Tony, congratulations, and I know you would love to hand that off to Peyton Manning right now. Peyton, you have been named the game's most valuable player. But you know, it's one of these nights where really there were so many guys on this team. Anyone on your team could have been the most valuable player, and I know no one knows that more than you.
No question, Jim, and that's been our theme all year. We have won as a team. Everybody did their part. There was no panic. Nobody ever gave up. We stayed calm throughout the entire game. Truly won this championship as a team, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
What a moment. Early February 2007 in Miami. As historic as it was, it doesn't happen without our next very special guest. On Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690, along with Mitch Gallo and Joey Alfieri. Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock. Went to four Super Bowls with the Bills before winning there with the Colts. Six times he was the NFL Executive of the Year. He's a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's part of the Indianapolis Colts Ring of Honor. He's part of the Buffalo Bills Wall of Fame. He's one of the all-time greats. And he actually spent some time working in this very city. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show Bill Polian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And it's great to be on with you.
It's our pleasure, believe me, and we'll talk about Marv Levy in just a couple of minutes, this righteous and good campaign to try to get him into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Some of us have been shocked to discover that he's not in there. What struck me as I watched that scene again this morning, Bill, is you're not there. You're not up there on the podium unless I missed you. And one of the things, as you know, as a hockey market like we are in Montreal, is that when the Stanley Cup is awarded, it goes right to the players. And it just irks me sometimes that the owner, nothing against them personally, but the owner and an executive will get to hoist that Lombardi trophy before any of the players do. Where were you?
Well, I was on the podium, but I was where I belonged, in the background. And when Jim Irsay got to hoist the trophy, I did too, and then Tony and Peyton and Jim and I all posed together. So I was where I belonged, in the background. That's where the GM belongs.
What
that game belongs to the coaches and the players.
You hired Tony Dungy, and you of course drafted Peyton Manning. That is the ultimate. What is it like? There are so many great fellow Pro Football Hall of Famers who never got that moment on the very top of the mountain. What was that like for you?
Well, obviously, it's a surreal moment. I mean, you dream about it all your life, but then the closer you get to it, the more difficult do you realize it is to get there. And then when you're in the game, at least for me anyway, watching it, and, you know, my work was done. I couldn't do anything to help anymore. My nerves were as raw as it's possible to be. I think I shook throughout the entire game. And it was just... it was a surreal moment. It wasn't until very much later that night when we went back to the victory party and I got a chance to talk with some of our coaches and players that it really hit. And then, of course, the next day, the tremendous homecoming we had in Indianapolis with over 50,000 fans in the then RCA Dome was phenomenal. And the capper really for all of us, I think, was the ring ceremony. It isn't totally real until you get the ring, and then when you do, it's just such a joyous feeling. But interestingly enough, you all know about the rivalry we have and had with the Patriots. Most of us feel that the most pure joy and elatedness we felt was the 2 weeks previous when we beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship game in a come-from-behind victory in our own building. That was pure, unadulterated joy. We slew the dragon. The monkey was off our back. And I think we were pretty darn sure to a man that we were going to win the Super Bowl no matter who we played.
And I would imagine there was extra satisfaction, not just because it was the Patriots, but, again, the manner in which you came from way back to win that game.
Yeah, that's right. 21 down, I believe. But the interesting part of it was, as Peyton said in the clip that you played, we never gave up. We never felt we were out of any game. And I remember sitting next to our great personnel director, Don Manelli, God rest his soul, in the press box, and we were driving down for a field goal that, if we got it, would have put us 17 down, I think, at the half. And I turned to Don and I said, if we kick this field goal, if Vinny kicks this field goal, Madam Vinatieri, Tony will go in and get the defense straightened out, and we're going to win. And he said, boss, you're crazy. I hope it happens, but I think you're nuts. And that's exactly what happened.
Bill, to you, what is, there's so much that goes into, there's so many people involved, but you're the architect. Is there a number one element to building a championship team that rises above any other factor when you put plan to paper and see it, the players, the coaches on the field, and eventually win or go to a championship game? What is the number one element to you in building a strong franchise?
Without question, everything else pales by comparison. The shared vision of the general manager and the head coach. If they share a vision, if they together know what the team will look like when it's good, know what kind of players it's made up of, know what kind of coaches you want, know what kind of style of football you want to play. If that is a shared vision, then you're going to succeed. If it isn't, the chances are very, very good that you won't.
Where did you first meet Marv Levy?
I first met Marv Levy, and he doesn't remember it to this day. I was introduced to him by a mutual friend outside Yankee Stadium when he was coaching the special teams for the Washington Redskins. The mutual friend was Ted Marchibroda, who later became our offensive coordinator with the Bills. Marv doesn't remember that, nor should he. I was just a young assistant coach at the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy at the time that was there with a friend of Ted's. And it was simply hello and goodbye. I knew who he was, but obviously he had no idea who I was. It was cordial enough, as he always is. But then my college coach, Bob Windisch, was fortunate enough to become Marv's personnel director in Montreal. I was out of football. We'd been fired at the Merchant Marine Academy. I was in business. And Bob called me and said, I'd like you to do some scouting for me. You're going to be great in personnel work. And we'll have you cover the Northeast and the Midwest. I said, okay, that's great. I appreciate it. I was doing it part-time. And at the end of the season, Bob called and said, the team's in the playoffs, and Coach would like to have you come up here and meet with him. So I did, and we sat down together, and he said, I've been reading your scouting reports. And I nearly keeled over. I mean, what head coach would read scouting reports from an unknown scout that whose name he didn't even know? And he said, and he went on to say, they're really good. I think you can help the organization. I'd love to have you with us. We're going to expand your duties, et cetera. And so now you know the rest of the story. I stayed with Marv with the Alouettes, and we won the Grey Cup. And then he brought me into Kansas City as an advanced scout at a time when there weren't very many advanced scouts in pro football. I was working with a man named Ron Waller, who was the pro personnel director, and my career largely together with Marv with the Chicago Blitz, with a brief stop in Winnipeg, a 2-year stop in Winnipeg, where Cal Murphy, who was the offensive line coach with the Alouettes, with whom I became great friends during my time with the Alouettes, asked me to come and help him put together the Blue Bombers, and we did. And that was Cal put together a great team there, and they went on to win some cups. And then Marv brought me back to the USFL with the Chicago Blitz. And when the USFL went dark, I had the opportunity to go to the Buffalo Bills as the pro personnel director, and I did. And I was named GM of the Bills 2 years later. And when it was obvious we needed to make a coaching change, there was only one person that I had in mind. It was a very short list. And I told Mr. Wilson, the owner, it's Marv Levy. That's it, hands down. We'll make it all the way to the top with him. And interestingly enough, Mr. Wilson called Lamar Hunt, the old owner of the Chiefs, for a reference. And Lamar said, the biggest mistake I ever made in my entire football career was letting Marv Levy go. So that's the story.
Oh, this is a fascinating background. I think even a lot of hardcore Montreal Alouettes and NFL fans were not aware of your association with the Montreal Alouettes. Did you spend any significant time in the city?
Oh, yeah, sure. I was in for training camp. I would come up a couple times during the year for games and for meetings with Bob and spent time with Marv, yes, and was there at the Grey Cup game, the Ice Bowl.
Right, the Ice Bowl. That's what got Marv the job in Kansas City.
Yeah, and still, of course, cherish the championship ring that I had. To meet Mr. Berger, who was very, very nice man and wonderful to talk to, and was quite friendly with and worked very well with Bob Geary, who's the general manager.
What a great man Bob Geary was. With the legendary Bill Polian on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690, Mitch Melnick along with Mitch Gallo, and he is one of the voices on our Alouettes broadcast, and the biggest CFL fan I've ever known in my life is Joey Alfieri. Go ahead,
Joey. It's really a pleasure to speak to you today, Bill, and I'm going to ask you a question that's a little specific, so I understand if you don't remember, but from your days here in Montreal, is there a scouting story where you uncovered somebody that became a pretty big contributor on the team that stands out in your mind, something that you're really proud of, a player you discovered for the Owls?
I can't think of one right off the top of my head, but I'll tell you a funny story, of which I'm involved in many throughout my career because I'm not the world's smartest guy. Obviously, I was scouting the Giants, and of course, as you know, and all CFL fans know, most CFL teams are made up of players that are cut from the NFL. So I went to Giants camp and two or three Giant preseason games, and so it was getting close to cut down time, and Bob had me call in, and he said, "Who do you like with the Giants?" And I said, "Well, I got this middle linebacker, a rookie, Harry Carson. I think he's got a chance to play. And they got this running back, Bobby Hammond. I don't think he'll make it. I think he's got a chance to play. And this young rookie quarterback, Phil Sims, he's probably going to make it, but I don't know how good he'll really be." And so Bob left. He said, "Well, you're a good scout. They're all going to make it."
And beat you in the Super Bowl on top of that. How do you guys talk about that at all, or is it long gone, the four consecutive Super Bowls? I think most people outside of the fan base of the teams that you guys played in the Super Bowls that you lost four straight, were pulling for the Bills to finally win one. That you managed, you know what that feeling is like doing it in Indianapolis. Marv never got to experience it. Is he totally fulfilled with that, even though he didn't
get to? Yes, he is. We've talked about it often, and as a matter of fact, Vic Carucci, who's a Buffalo reporter, and I are doing a book on the modern dynasties in pro football, and obviously the Bills are one of them. And we talked with Marv and others, Frank Reich and Jim Kelly and many others about it. And we're all kind of good with it. You can't change it. And ESPN was very kind and did a great 30 for 30 called Four Falls of Buffalo,
right.
which talks about the team and the road we were on and the heartbreak of losing all four, and they were kind enough to show it to us in advance, and it for many of us it brought tears to our eyes, you know, bringing back those memories, not the loss, but the friendship and the memories and the camaraderie. So that overcomes the losses, and I think most people, certainly in the football community, step back now and say, wow, what an achievement, that may never be done again, you know, to go to four in a row. And of course the first one we came within a foot and a half probably of winning the game. But I think, you know, all of us look back very fondly on those years, and so do the fans in Buffalo. I had an interesting experience which I related in the film. When we finally beat the Patriots and we're going to the Super Bowl in Indianapolis. Of course, at that time, it had been probably 15 or so years since the Bills had been in the playoffs. Obviously, since Marv left, or I think they made it once with Wade Phillips as the coach. You know, it had been a long time anyway, and I started getting telegrams and phone calls and letters from people in Buffalo saying, good luck, we're with you, this is our Super Bowl now. Think about that. That's loyalty, and those people are special, and they still treat us that way whenever any of us go back. And we often, including Marv, all of us go back for Jim Kelly's charity golf event every year. It's a heartwarming and gigantic homecoming.
With Pro Football Hall of Famer Bill Polian on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Gallo?
You know, as we talk about trying to get Marv Levy into the Hall of Fame, I'm just wondering, in your mind, what was it that made him such a great coach?
Oh, first of all, I talked about vision. He had an absolute vision for what the team could be and should be. He knew what kind of players and, more importantly, what kind of people he wanted on the team, players that he called high-character players, players with great football temperament. He was and is, along with Tony Dungy, the best teacher I've ever been around in my life. I'm sure that many of you in the media didn't see that in Montreal because you really have to be in the building and be around him every day to see it. But the way he teaches, the way he inspires, the way he puts your best foot forward and shows you how to do it day in and day out, it leaves an indelible mark on everyone that's been with him. And if you talk to Steve Tasker or you talk to Steve Christie or whomever else you can talk to about Marv, that theme, without question, will run through everything you hear about him. All we are, and much of how we conduct ourselves today, is a direct reflection of what he taught us.
I really don't even understand why it's such a big deal about trying to get Marv Levy into the Hall of Fame, because Marv came along when Alouettes weren't really doing that well. It took him 5 years to go to the Grey Cup three times and won it twice. I mean, that's being the coach's coaches. That's about as good as it gets.
The ordinary superstar himself, Johnny Rogers, with us earlier in the week. Bill, I'm so thrilled as a longtime fan, again, as someone who took it for granted that Marv was already in the Canadian Hall. You've obviously got some weight behind you. I hope the pull matches here, because it is it's shocking that he's not in, and it would sure be an incredible moment to have Marv attend and be able to deliver a speech himself.
Well, I know he certainly would look forward to it. I think it's important for fans in Canada and certainly the voters to take a look at the effect that he's had on the CFL, not just in the outstanding record that he established and reestablished the Alouettes as a power in the CFL. That, as was just mentioned, speaks for itself. But the fact that his arrival in Buffalo, where 20% of our season tickets in an 80,000-seat stadium came from Southern Ontario, was a tremendous shot in the arm for the CFL, because whenever anyone, most notably Chris Berman on ESPN, would mention the fact that Marv was coaching this great team in Buffalo and this very exciting offense and so on and so forth, they never failed to mention that he was a great cup winning coach in the CFL. And so his record in the CFL, which had been stellar, once he established himself as the Hall of Fame coach that he was in Buffalo, every win we had redounded positively on the CFL. So he made a contribution perhaps larger after he left than he ever did as a coach of the Alouettes. And if that doesn't qualify him for the Hall of Fame in the CFL, I don't know what does.
Bill, I'd like to ask you a question about football present day, if I can. And I know you're one of the co-founders of the AAF, and I know you were disappointed with the way that ended. But the Canadian Football League, in the last couple of weeks, they've made it be known that they're looking to partner with the XFL in 2022 and beyond. Do you think there's an appetite, or there's enough of an appetite for pro football outside of the NFL to make this work? And what did you learn about your experience in the AAF?
Well, the AAF experience from a football standpoint, it worked perfectly. And we were about to enter the last 2 weeks of the season and the playoffs when the ownership pulled the plug. We were going to have well over 40,000 fans in San Antonio that following week to see a big game between San Antonio and Los Angeles. So at the gate, we were a success. On the field, we were a success. The gentleman that owned the league did not want to make the commitment to keep it alive. No business, as we all know, is profitable for the first 3 or 4 years. And so it requires that long-term commitment. Having said that, the CFL brings something special to professional football. The uniqueness of the game, the avidity of the fans, the nationwide recognition of the league as a big league, all of that is a tremendous asset to any new league starting up. And I think if the CFL and the XFL can provide a sound basis like we did in the AAF in the United States, then it will grow. There is room for three leagues. There's no question about that. It's been proven in the past, because when you had the AFL and the NFL before they merged, the CFL was thriving too. So there is room for three leagues. There is room for player development, particularly with European players, which is what the CFL does so well. And there's room for a different style of football, if you will, which the CFL provides and which more and more Americans are enamored of. So I think that it's a great move, provided the XFL does what it can do to adapt much of the style of the CFL. If they do that, there is room for a third league, and I think it can survive and prosper.
Like so many great stories and adventures, it all started in the Bronx for Bill Polian. What a treat. What a treat this has been. I hope that we could get in touch again down the road and talk some football with you. It's been fascinating.
Well, I'd like to. Let me just end with this, if you don't mind. Cal Murphy is one of my closest friends from the day I first met him in Montreal until the day, unfortunately, he passed away too early. If he had a vote, he would tell you, and a voice, he would tell you, Marv belongs in the CFL Hall of Fame.
Hashtag two halls for Marv. Let's make it happen. Bill Polian, thank you so much once again. Greatly appreciate this.
Thank you very much.